This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, breaking down LSU baseball's weekend of a 2-1 series victory over Alabama, helping us do that. The great Ben McDonald, the ESPN SEC Network college baseball analyst, joining us. Ben, how you been doing? How was your weekend at the box?
It was good, man. I tell you what, did four games, and, McNeese has a really good team. Now, they were ranked, 26th in the RPI on Tuesday night, and LSU knocked them off. And then, of course, Alabama's a ranked team and a solid team and won 2 out of 3. So, all in all, look, pretty solid weekend for LSU. Went 3 out of 4 against that kind of competition.
When you look at the three games against Bama, Jay Johnson's always has talked about it now that he considers all these weekends in SEC play just basically super regional action. Wondering what you saw from the Tide that gave the Tigers some problems.
Well, you know, Alabama has a really solid team. I mean, Justin LeBron, their shortstop, sophomore shortstop, didn't have a great series. LSU pitched him really good, but you know, when you talk about talent, he's projected to be the first pick in the MLB draft. Not in this year's draft, but in next summer's draft, the 26th draft, you know. So he's got a big-time upside. LSU pitched him really well. But, you know, I think the arms for Alabama are solid. Typically, their defense is really good. They made a few errors here and there. And they got enough of an offense. I mean, I look at their overall offensive numbers, and all the numbers are pretty average. But what they do best is hit the ball out of the ballpark. They have the fifth most home runs in the SEC. So when you can bang it out of the ballpark like Bama can, they're always a threat to come back. And so it's a very, very solid team that Alabama has. And, you know, they dropped – this is their third series in a row they dropped, but yet they're still ranked to what people think about them. I mean, they're on a new poll today. They're ranked 18th in the country, you know. So it's a good team. It's a solid team.
And the SEC is kind of cannibalizing itself a little bit here, Ben. Like, Texas is the only one that's really kind of gone unscathed throughout the first 6 weeks now of SEC action. Like, with Arkansas losing a recent weekend series, they dropped to number 5. Tennessee drops 2 of 3 to Kentucky. That's LSU's next opponent. I want to get your thoughts on the Volunteers here and kind of get an early preview of Tennessee this weekend coming to the box. Liam Doyle, listen, he put up video game numbers in non-conference play, and he's kind of come a little bit back down to earth, but the numbers on the season are just so, so impressive. 7-1 this season, a 2.48 ERA, a 0.83 whip, walks and hits per innings pitched, 31 hits allowed to 104 strikeouts in 58 innings pitched. What have you seen from the left-handed pitcher so far this year, the Tennessee Volunteers ace?
Yeah, when I talk about Tennessee, I mean, Tennessee is different, right? I mean, if you go back and look at the last three national champions, Ole Miss won it, 3 years ago. They kind of go off the grid for the last 2 years, don't even make the SEC tournament. Mississippi State won it the year before Ole Miss won it, and yet the next 2 years, they didn't even make the SEC tournament, much less the NCAA tournament. Well, Tennessee won their first national title last year. Everybody thought there'd be a little bit of a dip. And I tell you what, they've not dipped a whole lot. They're still really, really good. The portal was good. They go over to Ole Miss and they get Doyle, who you're talking about, who was in the weekend rotation for Ole Miss last year. They get Fisher, the first baseman, who was one of the top hitters in the league. And he transferred over to Tennessee, too. So Tony Vitale didn't miss a beat at all. And when I look at Liam Doyle, you know, it's obviously from the left side. It's high velocity. And what he does best, he's got a lot of analytics. He pitches up in the strike zone and above, actually, the top of the strike zone. And hitters just have a hard time not chasing that fastball out of the zone. Because if you look at his in-zone success and when he gets the ball in the strike zone, he can get hittable at that point. But what he does best is throws the ball out of the strike zone, and yet he gets a lot of swings on it, you know. And so I think he hides the ball very well. If you talk to hitters, they say they don't pick up the fastball, just kind of jumps on you, and it kind of explodes through the zone, you know. And so he's a really good college pitcher. I got him projected, actually, at the next level to be a reliever because he doesn't throw enough strikes for me. And when LSU faces him, they're going to have to push the ball down in the strike zone because if they chase that elevated fastball, mid-90s fastball, nobody's had success and nobody's going to have success on that fastball up out of the zone. So they got to figure out a way to push him down in the strike zone and make him be over the white part of the plate.
Ben, talking about pitching, it seems like LSU kind of has a question now for that third starter on the weekend. We saw Chase Shores in that final game against Alabama really struggling, only going 2 2/3 innings, giving up three earned runs in that matchup. But overall, what do you think the Tigers end up turning to on their third part of the weekend rotation?
Yeah, I mean, that is a little bit of a question mark for LSU. I'm not sure what Jay Johnson's going to do, you know. He started Connor Ware, on Saturday in game three, and, you know, Connor Ware gave him two-plus innings. So he tried somebody different, and Chase Shores was the first reliever in, you know. And, of course, Chase Shores was relieving a little bit his freshman year as well. I still like Shores, and people are down on him a little bit. But I tell you what you got to remember about Chase Shores, he only threw 18 innings his freshman year, and then he hurt his elbow. He missed the rest of his freshman year 2 years ago, didn't pitch at all last year, and just now came back. So you talk about a young man that started his third year, only had 18 collegiate innings under his belt. And now he's pitched, he's got about 59 total in his 3 years at LSU. So in a lot of ways, he's still learning how to pitch. You think of him as a junior, but really from an experience standpoint, he's still just a freshman. So that 6'8" frame, man, he struggles to throw strikes sometimes. He gets behind the count a little bit, but you can't deny the stuff. Like, it's a mid to upper 90s fastball. He was up to 99 the other day. And so he's got a really good arm. I think it's just about kind of zeroing that scope in a little bit more, if you will, and getting the ball over the white part of the plate. Because when he throws strikes, he's a really good pitcher. So I don't know if this was kind of a reset for Shores to kind of grab his attention a little bit, try somebody else, and then throw him back in there. But I have a feeling Shores is going to be back in there. I am overall, though, guys, I'm impressed with this LSU pitching staff. It led the nation in strikeouts last year. It leads the SEC this year in strikeouts. It's number two in the entire country this year in strikeouts, only behind Wake Forest. And you got to go all the way back to 2015 when LSU had an ERA this low on the season. If you look at LSU's ERA, it's third overall in the SEC, and in SEC play alone, it is the number two best ERA in the SEC, and that's the best top conference out there. So overall, Nate Yeske has done an outstanding job with his staff. Like I said, it's the best ERA right now since 2015, and that is a mouthful.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
And, you know, a big reason for that is the two-headed monster that LSU features kind of out of the bullpen with Cason Evans, the freshman, and then Zach Howen, the transfer from Wofford. Ben, I think it's been a while since we've talked to you. Like, these two guys have been unbelievable this year. And Jay Johnson, in the high leverage moments, he always wants to go to one of those two players to kind of secure a weekend series victory. Now, the issue with the sweep at Auburn was that LSU was never in the lead. But when you're in the lead on any, no matter who the SEC opponent is, and you have Cason Evans or Zach Howen that you can go to, and it would happen this past weekend, once they picked up the lead in that Thursday game, Cason Evans comes out and he's shut down. He's fantastic. I know that people will talk about the low strikeout, but I think it was a makeup call for the batter before that. So anyways, and then yeah. Zach Howen on Friday to secure, you know, that second series, or the second win in the series and secure the series victory. Those two guys have been so unbelievable this year. I just want to get your thoughts on them.
Yeah, I tell you what, to rely on a true freshman is very rare in high leverage situations, you know, at the back end of a bullpen. And, you know, you talk about Evans and Cason. Cason's been outstanding. It's a .67 ERA. He throws a lot of strikes. He fills up the zone. It's high velocity, you know. And then, of course, when you talk about Zach Cowan, he was a starter at Wofford last year. And really, I mean, nobody's talking about this, but if Gavin Guidry was healthy and at the back end of that bullpen, I think it would be Evans back there and Guidry back there. And I think you'd see the kid out of Wofford and Zach Cowan. I think he would be your number three starter. I really do. But I think Jay likes Cowan at the back end because he doesn't have Guidry and he wants to rely on Cowan and Evans. And what I love about those guys, it's not just one inning, right? When he brings them in, they can finish ball games. They can go three for you. They can give you three plus, or they can give you one if that's what you want. So that's the value of having those guys back there. Cowan's got this changeup, man, and everybody knows he's going to throw it, and yet they still can't hit it. You know, it's that good. And so he brings a lot to the table. He brings some experience, and it really his first year to relieve, and he's been outstanding. And I am super impressed with Evans, you know, as a true freshman, his demeanor on the mound. He's got a slow heartbeat. And so, look, the back end of this bullpen is going to be really, really good. I think they need another guy or two to step up. I think Maverick Rizzi, the other freshman, the 6'9" guy, I think he's going to be a big part of that. And if they get Rizzi going along with Evans and, of course, Cowan back there, it's going to be a three-headed monster back there. And LSU is going to be really tough if they can carry a lead into the seventh inning.
Ben, always great hearing you call LSU baseball games and always appreciate you stopping by WWL Radio. Thanks a lot for the time, Big Ben.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben McDonald, ESPN and SEC Network college baseball analyst, joining us there, breaking down the Bayou Bengals series win over Bama over the weekend. Now they got a matchup against Northwestern State tomorrow, and then back to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they'll be taking on good old Tennessee.
So, Steve, I was kind of joking with Ben before he came on there. The SEC's wild. I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? South Carolina takes a series from what was then top 10 ranked Ole Miss. They went from being like 2-13 in SEC play to now 4-14, and Ole Miss drops to 10-8 in SEC play. Texas A&M is just on a heater right now.
Yeah.
Like rising from the ashes like a phoenix. I mean, it's been unbelievable watching how they've played in recent weeks, taking down a series from Tennessee and then taking 2-3 at Arkansas, who was the number two team in the country. Like I kind of mentioned with Ben there, like the SEC is cannibalizing itself a little bit here because Tennessee drops 2-3 at home to Kentucky, who is in the middle of the pack. It's just all these teams are beating up on one another. And when you look at the current D1 baseball top 25, there's only one SEC team in the top four. And it's because Arkansas and Tennessee have dropped 2-3 to at home to what was then, you know, A&M and Kentucky in the middle of the pack in the SEC. But you have LSU and Tennessee this upcoming weekend. Georgia loses three straight at Vanderbilt this past weekend. They were a top five team entering the weekend. So it's been crazy to follow. The one constant is that Missouri stinks, and they're at the bottom of the SEC.
Oh, I
feel bad,
Mizzou.
But I mean, they're getting bludgeoned every time they play. The one constant's them at the bottom of the pack, but all these other teams kind of in the middle to like the lower tier are beating up on each other.
How is Mizzou winless in conference play?
They're just not very good. But you see a team like South Carolina take 2-3 from Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You see Texas A&M go to Fayetteville, take 2-3 from Arkansas. You saw Kentucky go to Tennessee and take 2-3 from the Volunteers. It's so chaotic. And Georgia getting swept at Vanderbilt. We don't really know what's going to happen or how the SEC standings are going to shape up. The one constant so far has been Texas. And they're the one team that really hasn't fallen off the track. And Jim Schlossnagel's been doing a great job there early on. But they haven't played a really tough road series yet. And they have a hot Texas A&M team coming to town this upcoming weekend. And boy, oh boy, is that going to be appointment viewing for college baseball fans.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.